te Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate 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 Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter 1, Text 3. Nigama,
Nigama,
Kalpataro,
Kalpataro,
Kalitam,
Kalitam,
Halam,
Halam,
Shuka,
Shuka,
Mukad,
Mukad,
Amrita,
Amrita,
Java,
Java,
Samyutam,
Samyutam,
Pibata,
Pibata,
Bhagavatam,
Bhagavatam,
Rasam,
Rasam,
Alayam,
Alayam,
Bhur,
Bhur,
Aho,
Aho,
Rasika,
Rasika,
Uvi,
Uvi,
Bhavukaha,
Bhavukaha,
Nigamakalpataror Galitam Palam,
Nigamakalpataror Galitam Palam,
Shukamukhadamrita Dravasangyutam,
Shukamukhadamrita Dravasangyutam,
Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam,
Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam,
Muhuraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavukaha,
Muhuraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavukaha.
This is very interesting. Nigamakalpataror Galitam Palam,
Nigamakalpataror Galitam Palam,
Shukamukhadamrita Dravasamyutam,
Shukamukhadamrita Dravasamyutam,
Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam,
Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam,
Muhuraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavukaha,
Muhuraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavukaha.
Nigamakalpataragalitam
palam,
Shukamukhad amrita dravasam yutam,
Pibata Bhagavatam
rasamalayam,
Muhuraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavukaha, Nigamakalpataror Galitam Palam,
Nigamakalpataror Galitam Palam,
Shukamukhad Amrita Dravasamyutam,
Shukamukhad Amrita Dravasamyutam,
Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam,
Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam,
Muhur Aho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavukaha,
Muhur Aho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavukaha.
Nigamakalpataragalitam phalam.
Shukamukhadamrita dravya samyutam.
Pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam.
Muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavukaha.
Nigamakalpataragalitam phalam.
Shukamukhadamrita dravya samyutam.
sampalayam
pibhata bhagavatam rasamalayam
mohurahodasikabhibhavaka nigamakalpataragalitam phalam
nigamakalpataragalitam phalam
Sukamukha-amrita-dhyava-samyutam Pibhata-bhagvatam-rasam-alayam Mugur-ahura-sikha-bhu-vibhavukah
Mugur-ahura-sikha-bhu-vibhavukah Nigama.
Nigama.
The Vedic literature.
Kalpataro,
the desire tree.
Galitam,
fully matured.
Palam,
fruit.
Shuka,
Srila Shukadev Goswami.
The original speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. Mukha,
from the lips of.
Amrita,
nectar,
Drava,
semi-solid and soft,
and
therefore easily swallowable.
Samyutam,
perfect in all respects.
Nibbata,
do relish it.
Bhagavatam,
the book dealing in the science of the eternal relation with the Lord.
Rasam,
juice.
That which is relishable.
Alayam,
until liberation.
Or even in a liberated condition.
Always.
Aho. Rasikaha, those who are full in the knowledge of the mellows.
Bhuvi,
on the earth.
Bhavukaha,
expert and thoughtful. O expert and thoughtful men, relish Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures. It emanated from the lips of Sri Sukadeva Goswami. Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. Purport. In the two previous slokas, it has been definitely proved that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the sublime literature which surpasses all other Vedic scriptures due to its transcendental qualities. It is transcendental to all mundane activities and mundane knowledge. In this shloka, it is stated that Srimad Bhagavatam is not only a superior literature, but is the ripened fruit of all Vedic literatures. In other words, it is the cream of all Vedic knowledge. Considering all this, patient and submissive hearing is definitely essential. With great respect and attention, one should receive the message and lessons imparted by Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Jnanati Mirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tathati Shapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Patakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raganatam Pitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Takta Kam Shana Gaurangi
Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kolpitarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Pyaevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Nigamakalpitaror Galitam Palam Shukamukhadamrita Dravasanyutam Pibhata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muguraho Rasika Bhuvibhavuka. The importance of Srimad Bhagavatam is being further described. In previous verses, we heard Dharma Prochita Kaitavocha Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam. Cheating religion is kicked out of Srimad Bhagavatam. There's no interest in obtaining material enjoyment or advancing toward impersonal liberation through speculative knowledge. The Srimad Bhagavatam is superior to all that, and therefore it's called the ripe fruit of Vedic knowledge. The Vedas are compared to the desire tree because they contain all things knowable by man. They deal with mundane necessities as well as spiritual realization. The Vedas contain regulative principles of knowledge concerning social, political, religious, economic, military, medicinal, chemical, physical, and metaphysical subject matter, and all that may be necessary to keep the body and soul together. Above and beyond all this are specific directions for spiritual realization. Regulated knowledge involves a gradual raising of the living entity to the spiritual platform. And the highest spiritual realization is knowledge that the personality of Godhead is the reservoir of all spiritual tastes or rasas. Kalpitu. Taro means a tree. So Kalpitaro. Kalpitaru means a desire tree, a tree that can give you whatever you want. In the material world, we have no such trees. From the apple tree, you can get apples. From the cherry tree, you can get cherries. But in the spiritual world, there are kalpavrikshas, kalpataru, trees from which you can get anything you want. Mango, cherry, apple, anything. Any kind of fruit. Of course, in the spiritual world, no one has any desires. There are only desires to please Krishna. But the tree can give anything. So the Vedas are compared to a tree. Because in the Vedas, you can get anything that you want to find. If you want material advancement, philosophical, speculative study, anything. It's all there in the Vedas. But this is the fruit of the Vedas is being described in Srimad Bhagavatam. In one's relationship with the personality of Godhead. Every living entity, beginning from Brahma, the firstborn living being within the material world, down to the insignificant ant, desires to enjoy, to relish some sort of taste derived from sense perceptions.
these sensual pleasures are technically called rasas. Such rasas are of different varieties. In the revealed scriptures, the following 12 varieties of rasas are enumerated. Raudra, anger, Adbhuta, wonder, Shringar, conjugal love, Hasya, comedy, 5, Vira, chivalry, 6, Daya, mercy, 7, Dasya, servitorship, 8, Sakya, fraternity, 9, Ayanika, horror, 10, Pivatsa, shock, 11, Shanta, neutrality, 12, Vatsalya, parenthood. These are called tastes. Rasa literally means taste. It can also mean juice. We taste because there's some water on the tongue. If the tongue doesn't always have water on it, we wouldn't be able to taste. Taste and water are related. Just as vision is related to fire or light, so the taste is related to water. There has to be water on the tongue, then you can taste. So there are different kinds of tastes, or taste also means juice. So different kinds of tastes. Some taste derived from sense perception. And Srila Prabhupada describes them. Anger, wonder, conjugal love, comedy, chivalry. These are all different kinds of tastes. Just as in eating, there are different kinds of tastes. There's sweet, there's sour, there's salty. There's bitter also. Even bitter is a taste. Sour is, we say, well, sour. But sour is appreciated. A sour taste is also sweet. It's not just sweet. If everything is sweet, that's not very tasty. Or if everything is salty, that's also not very tasty. But when there's a combination of sweet, salty, sour also, bitter also. Bitter is also a taste. And you get that bitter melon or meti. What is meti in English?
Fenugreek.
Fenugreek. So these are bitter, but they're tasty. Bitter is also tasty. Hot. Too much hot is not very nice. But some heat is also hot taste, pungent taste is also appreciated. Hot, sweet, salty, sour, bitter, different kinds of tastes. So here in relationships there are different kinds of tastes. There's friendship, there's the taste of parental love, the taste of conjugal love, and other kinds of tastes which add to these, to the main relationships. The main relationships are appreciation, servitude, friendship, parental love, and conjugal love. And then the other tastes also are appreciated. Chivalry, horror, shock. Someone may say, well, that's not very tasteful. But actually, these tastes also add something. We pay money to go see a horror movie. Because that adds to the taste. There's a certain taste in that. In a loving relationship, sometimes there's anger. And the anger adds a kind of taste to the relationship. Sometimes there's comedy also, joking. between husband and wife, sometimes there's joking, and that also adds to the taste. Mm-hmm. So these different tastes are there, and they're technically called rasas. Some of them go together very nicely, and some of them don't go together. Like in eating, bitter and sweet don't go together very nicely. You wouldn't put fenugreek in the sweet rice. That would be an unfortunate combination. But other things will go very nicely. Sour things also don't go very nicely. You wouldn't put tamarind in sweet rice. That would be nasty. But a little, even a little black pepper will go nicely in sweet rice. So one has to know, the experts know how to combine the tastes in such a way that the preparation becomes very nice. Hot will go nicely with bitter. Salty will go nicely with bitter. Sweet and bitter don't go. So in this way, different tastes. So Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu also analyzes different combinations of tastes, what will be tasty and what will not be tasty in terms of relationships. So for example, comedy and conjugal love go very nicely in a marriage when there's some joking between husband and wife. That's very tasty. But conjugal love and parental love don't go very nicely together. That's not a suitable combination. But servitude goes well with every relationship, because service is the basis of all the different tastes. So, rasas, these different relationships are there, and Srila Rupa Goswami has described the science of devotional service in relationship to Krishna in terms of these different rasas. The sum total of all these rasas is called affection or love. Primarily, such signs of love are manifested in adoration, service, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love. And when these five are absent, love is present indirectly in anger, wonder, comedy, chivalry, fear, shock, and so on. For example, when a man is in love with a woman, the rasa is called conjugal love, but when such love affairs are disturbed, there may be wonder, anger, shock, or even horror. Sometimes love affairs between two persons culminate in ghastly murder scenes. So these are not very good combinations. Comedy and joking and conjugal love, yes. Horror, that's not very good. Such rasas are displayed between man and man and between animal and animal. There's no possibility of an exchange or rasa between a man and an animal, or between a man and any other species of living beings within the material world. The rasas are exchanged between members of the same species. But as far as the spirit souls are concerned, they are one qualitatively with the Lord. Therefore, the rasas were originally exchanged between the spiritual living being and the spiritual whole, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The spiritual exchange, or rasa, is fully exhibited in spiritual existence between living beings and the Supreme Lord. Yes, the living beings are of the same category as Krishna, spirit. Although Krishna is very great, and the living beings are very small. So the loving exchanges are found between the Lord and the living beings. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is therefore described in the Shruti Mantras, Vedic hymns, as
the fountainhead of all rasas, rasovaisa. When one associates with the Supreme Lord and exchanges one's constitutional rasa with the Lord, then the living being is actually happy. These Shruti mantras indicate that every living being has its constitutional position, which is endowed with a particular type of rasa to be exchanged with the personality of God. In the liberated condition only, this primary rasa is experienced in full. In the material existence, the rasa is experienced in the perverted form, which is temporary. And thus, the rasas of the material world are exhibited in the material form of rodra, anger, and so on. Therefore, one who attains full knowledge of these different rasas, which are the basic principles of activities, can understand the false representations of the original rasas, which are reflected in the material world. The learned scholar seeks to relish the real rasa in the spiritual form. In the beginning, he desires to become one with the Supreme. Thus, less intelligent transcendentalists cannot go beyond this conception of becoming one with the spirit whole without knowing of the different rasas. So, the rasas of the spiritual world are pervertedly reflected in a distorted form in the material world. So the real friendship, the real parental love, the real conjugal love, real servitude, everything real is found on the spiritual platform of Krishna. And these are reflected only in the material world, in the form of material friendship, material love, and so on. So the pure devotees are interested in the spiritual rasas. They're not interested in the material relationships. We don't find that the great sages like Sukadeva Goswami or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were interested in hearing about the mundane affairs, the mundane relationships of this material world. They weren't interested in relishing fictional relationships or anything mundane. But they were very interested in the spiritual tastes of the transcendental world. The material tastes can't exist here unless they exist there. If there's variety here, it must have its source. In the reflection, you can't have varieties that don't exist somehow in the original. The tree in the water will have fruit if the tree on the land has fruit. So the different rasas or tastes are found in the spiritual world. The impersonalists can't appreciate this because their idea is to become one with the Supreme, absolutely one. Their idea is that in reality, since there's so many varieties in this material world, the world of truth, the world of spirit, must have no varieties. It must be the opposite. That's their idea. But this idea is relative. It's the idea of reality derived only by looking at the illusion and not properly understanding what is what. Their idea is to negate the illusion. This is illusion, so when we negate illusion, then we have reality. But Vedic literature says, no, you have to look on the other side of illusion. The reality is not just no illusion, but it's the source from which the illusions come. The opposite of the false tree in the water is not no tree. It's the real tree on the land. So the real taste is in the spiritual world. The materialists are foolishly trying to enjoy the tastes here, and they're not able to enjoy it, because that's the nature of the material world. The tastes are always
not so tasty, or even if we think this is the greatest taste, it doesn't last. But so then, understanding this, the transcendentalists in the neophyte stage think no tastes. Let us give up all tastes. Taste is Maya. But the advanced transcendentalists, the devotees, understand that on the spiritual platform, on the platform of reality, there's taste, but it's not the taste of this material world. The real taste is there. So, this Srimad Bhagavatam is the science of understanding these tastes or relationships with Krishna. In this shloka, it is definitely stated that spiritual rasa, which is relished even in the liberated stage, can be experienced in the literature of the Srimad Bhagavatam due to its being the ripened fruit of all Vedic literature. All Vedic knowledge. By submissively hearing this transcendental literature, one can attain the full pleasure of his heart's desire. But one must be very careful to hear the message from the right source. Srimad Bhagavatam is exactly received from the right source. It was brought by Narad Muni from the spiritual world and given to his disciple Sri Vyasadeva. The latter in turn delivered the message to his son Srila Sukadeva Goswami, and Srila Sukadeva Goswami delivered the message to Maharaj Parikshit just 7 days before the king's death. This is the method. This is the method of hearing. The ripe fruit should be received from the proper person. And the proper person is the pure devotee in the parampara system. Srila Shukadeva Goswami was a liberated soul from his very birth. He was liberated even in the womb of his mother, and he did not undergo any sort of spiritual training after his birth. At birth, no one is qualified, neither in the mundane nor in the spiritual sense. But Sri Sukadeva Goswami, due to his being a perfectly liberated soul, did not have to undergo an evolutionary process for spiritual realization. Yet despite his being a completely liberated person, situated in the transcendental position above the three material modes, he was attracted to this transcendental rasa of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is adored by liberated souls who sing Vedic hymns. The Supreme Lord's pastimes are more attractive to liberated souls than to mundane people. He is of necessity not impersonal, because it is only possible to carry on transcendental rasa with a person. The Srimad Bhagavatam will be appreciated especially by the liberated souls. That will be explained later. Atmaramaschamuniyo. The Srimad Bhagavatam will attract even those who are liberated. The liberated persons are beyond the attraction of the material world. But even they will be attracted by the varieties of tastes found in the spiritual world. Those who are in the impersonal, on the impersonal path, have taken a path which is very difficult and not very rewarding. Klesho dikataraste shalam abhyakta sakta chetasam. But they will be attracted by the higher tastes found in Srimad Bhagavatam. Any questions so far?
Mm-hmm. So there are, as we see in the material world, there are perverted forms.
Yes.
Such as anger. But does that mean that they don't exist in the spiritual world?
No, it's there in the spiritual world also. There's anger, but it's relishable. There's anger, but it's relishable. There's everything, but it contributes to transcendental enjoyment. Here, the anger contributes to mayhem, but there, it contributes to transcendental happiness.
One more question. It says here that there's no rasa between man and animal, but what about when a human has a dog or a cat? What kind of is that like?
I've wondered about this also. Prabhupada says that the relationship is only found between man and man. I wonder about it. I don't really understand it. But the point Prabhupada is trying to make is that these rasas are exchanged between beings of the same category. There's some Sanskrit terms. Sajatiya and Sajatiya. Sajatiya means of the same category. The spirit souls are all of the same category as Krishna. The material world, you could say, finally everything is perverted anyway. The so-called friendship between the man and the dog is not real friendship. And for that matter, even the so-called friendship between man and man is not real friendship. So, but the relationship with Krishna is original. Another question?
I have a few. Narada Muni, it was brought by Narada Muni from the spiritual world and given to his disciple, Sri Vyasadeva. Now, isn't this Bhagavatam telling about all these things that happen here in this material world?
Yes, that's all right. The pastimes of Krishna found in the material world. Or from another point of view, everything that Krishna does is really taking place in the spiritual world, even if it's here. Krishna never leaves the spiritual world. So even when he appears in the material world, that material place where he performs his pastimes is spiritual. Or from another point of view, yes. But brought from the spiritual world means from the spiritual platform. Narada Muni is speaking from the spiritual platform, the glories of Krishna. Some other thoughts, but they're speculative, so we skip them.
I don't mind.
No, I will.
Okay.
It's against the law.
Another question. I have two other questions. One is on neutrality, shantaras. Is the shantaras, if I have a neutral relationship with Krishna, is there any other rasas that go with it?
Servitude goes with shantaras. Appreciation can lead to service. So shanta and dasya are compatible. Sometimes transcendental scholars don't even consider shantaras, but Srila Rupa Goswami is counting shantaras also as a relationship. Appreciation is also a kind of service, but not very active service. Therefore, we don't find shantaras with, for example, conjugal love or friendship. There's no shantaras there.
My last question for now is why are these put in this order? Normally,
I don't know.
Primaries and then the secondaries. Mixes them all up.
I don't know what Prabhupada's reason is.
Personally, I may argue you are reading here from some.
You have to speak loud, yes.
In personalist, may argue that you are speaking here from some Purana, but we have Shruti, we have original Veda spoken by the Lord.
They may say, well, if you're speaking for the Puranas, first of all, Prabhupada's quoting Shruti. Rasovaisa, the Absolute is the source of all rasas. Shruti Matra. Apart from that, in the Shruti it's said in the Chandogya Upanishad that the Itihasas and Puranas are the fifth Veda. So if you accept the Shruti, then you have to accept the Itihasas and Puranas. What is the difficulty? Om Tat Vishnu Paramam Padam Sadapashanti Surya. In the Rig Veda also, it said that all the demigods are looking toward the lotus feet of Vishnu, the supreme destination. So, what is the use of your being impersonalist? Okay.
The rasa, the parenthood rasa, is that just when we see Krishna as like we are the mother and the father, and we see Krishna as our baby, or is it are there instances where we see Krishna as our father?
Is there a relationship in which we see Krishna as father? Let me think about that. Parental rasa. In parental rasa, as usually presented, the mother and father of Krishna or other elderly relatives or friends, they're in that relationship. Parental relationship in which God is the father. Generally, it's dasya. Because the business of the son is to serve the father, our father who art in heaven, and so on, and so on, and so on. There's nothing like, you know, Krishna becomes the father and the child, the devotee becomes the little baby. So we don't find that. Of course, there is parental relationship. Krishna has his sons in Dwarka. He becomes the father. He has 16,108 wives and 10 children by each wife. So there is, that is there.
He's saying Aham Bija Prajapati. He's saying Aham Bija.
Yeah, he's the father of all living entities, Aham Bija Pradapita. Now, in that relationship, the mood of service is prominent. The Vatsalya Rasa is the rasa of parenthood. So, in that relationship, the devotee feels like the parent of Krishna. The relationship in which one feels like the son of Krishna is not a parental relationship. from our side at least. So it's more like dasya, service. Is that okay?
I have two questions.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any rasas that only exist in the spiritual world?
Are there only rasas that exist only in the spirit? Actually, all the rasas exist only in the spiritual world. What we see in the material world is only a reflection of the rasas.
And I have another general question. Lord Shiva is poor, but when you serve Lord Shiva, you become rich.
Well, that's
a
big question.
And then Vishnu is rich, but when you serve Vishnu, you become poor.
Yeah, Krishna is rich, and you serve him and become poor, or Shiva is poor, but you serve him and become rich. Yes, this is a very good question. This was asked by Prakshit Maharaj to Sukadeva Goswami. And Sukadeva Goswami said, yes, the same question was asked by your grandfather, Maharaj Yudhisthira, to Krishna himself. Lord Shiva is so poor that he doesn't even have a house to live in. He lives under a tree. And yet his devotees are so rich. And Krishna is the husband of the goddess of fortune. And his devotees are generally poor. So Krishna explained that the wealth of the materialist is mine. It's given by the illusory energy. The illusory energy is Lord Shiva's wife, Parvati, Durga. The consort of Lord Shiva is the personification of the illusory energy. So when you worship Lord Shiva, the illusory energy is there, his control. So you can have whatever you want, however much illusion, illusory wealth, it's all available. But it's not very good for us. And Krishna, but Lord Shiva doesn't consider, that's his nature, Ashutosh, he's very easily satisfied. And he doesn't consider what's good, what's bad for you. If you want it, you can have it. He's very magnanimous to his devotees. Without consideration, yes, take it. But Lord Vishnu is considering. He thinks about what's actually beneficial for his devotees. So Krishna told Maharaj Yudhisthira, Yasyaham Anugranami Hanishe Tantananjanai. When I really favor someone, I take everything away from them. The increase of wealth is a source of increased trouble. And taking wealth away, which seems to be a source of trouble, is actually a source of benediction for the devotee. Something else?
I have said.
Yes.
Prabhupada, he said when you meditate on Krishna, you should begin meditating on his feet and then go up. But if you begin on his face, is that offensive?
Is that?
Offensive.
Offensive? You can look anywhere, but generally the idea is that when we meet a respectable person, a superior person, we first see the feet and then look up. But if you look at Krishna's face, lightning will not strike you dead. Okay? Okay, we can stop here. Thank you all very much. Of course, she was probably.